Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations. Years ago, before my knee injury, I went snow skiing with my husband up in the Quad Cities in northern Illinois. That whole weekend for my personal devotions, I was studying Isaiah chapter 40, which is all about the prophet Isaiah being commissioned by the Lord to go out and cry out to God's people and to speak comfort to them. I don't know about you, but over the last 2 years, my comfort level has been rapidly declining. With COVID and all that is happening in the world and across our nation, it's as if the whole world has hit their head and lost their minds. The world is raging right now, and the spiritual battle between good and evil and between those who are God's people and those who are not has become visibly blatant and ramped up. How can God's people today possibly have comfort in the midst of a world that is running headlong away from God and a world that offers anything but peace and comfort that only comes from the Lord? In Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11, God has a message of comfort for his people back then and to us yet today, and God's message is threefold. God's people can have comfort in knowing that God's plan will be revealed, that God's word stands forever, and that God, our great shepherd, will comfort and care for his people. First of all, God's people can have comfort in knowing that God's plan will be revealed. The book of Isaiah is kind of like a Bible in a book. Just as there are 66 books in the Bible, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. The first 39 chapters, like the Old Testament, is all about the problem of sin and the judgment of God. The remaining 27 chapters in Isaiah, like the New Testament, is about God's solution through his provided salvation that results in the comfort of God. Isaiah 40 is a turnkey chapter that divides the two major sections but unified storyline in the book of Isaiah. Just as the Bible is one book from beginning to end, so is the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 40, God wants his people to know that he has a plan for our greatest problem and that God's people can have comfort in knowing that his plan will be revealed. I love the first two verses that says, "Comfort ye, comfort my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned." Comfort in knowing God's revealed plan first includes knowing there is a pardon for sin. The war of sin has been waged since the fall of man in the garden in Genesis 3. From the beginning, God placed enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, of whom one day would come the promised one, the Son of God. In the fullness of time, all according to God's plan, Jesus came and conquered the power of sin, Satan, and death, crushing the head of the serpent Satan at the cross and the empty tomb. In Christ, our warfare has been accomplished, and our iniquity, our sins, have been pardoned, not because of anything that we have done or not done, but all because of what Christ has done, what Jesus has done for us. But what does all this mean? It means that no matter what is happening in the world out there or the trials and challenges that we are facing in our lives in here, all the turmoil and chaos in the world that's spinning is nothing compared to the comfort of God and knowing that in Christ, through his death and resurrection, we have the pardon for sin. You see, our greatest problem in this life, our greatest mountain, God has already moved. But not only do we have the pardon of sin, but also the comfort in knowing that all the promises of God, according to God's plan, will be revealed. The next few verses in Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5, is like multiple picture images that point to the fulfillment of God's plan in his first and second coming. Verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Well, what does that remind you of the New Testament? Can't you just see John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, standing in his camel skins, eating locusts and honey, and crying out at the top of his lungs, "I am the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." John the Baptist's whole mission was to do what? Was to prepare the way and point the way for people at Christ's first coming to see Jesus, to see who Jesus is and why Jesus came. Do you remember some of the first words the scriptures record that came out of John the Baptist's mouth when he saw Jesus coming towards him? John lifted up his voice, the Bible says, and pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Verse 3 obviously points us to John the Baptist's mission in Christ's first coming, but it also reminds us, each of us, to be on mission as we approach the day of Christ's second coming. Every day brings us that one day closer to our Lord's return. But until that day comes, what is it that God wants us to do? God has called each one of us to be like miniature John the Baptist, preparing the way and pointing the way to Jesus and saying to those around us, both near and far, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Isaiah 40 verse 3 points us clearly to Christ's first coming, but the next two verses, verses 4 and 5, points us to Christ's second coming. In verse 4, I can almost hear the song from Handel's Messiah like ringing in my ears. "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." You see, at Christ's second coming, not only will there be physical changes to the earth in Christ's kingdom and the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth, but also there will be spiritual, outward changes where all the wrongs of this world will be made right, and the crooked places will be straightened out, and the rough places made plain. Praise God that He has a plan for this world, and that God's plan, whether we understand it or not, or we can even see it or not, is right on track. Verse 5 continues, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." You see, Christ came the first time, just as He said, and so Christ will come the second time, just as He said. The glory of the Lord will be, shall be revealed. In fact, that's what the whole book of Revelation is all about. It is the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will one day come and split the eastern sky and come in power and glory. And all flesh will see Him and bow down and kneel before Him, confessing that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. So what does the promise of Christ's first and second coming all point to? The comfort of God. It is our great consolation. It means that as God's people, we have the comfort in knowing that God's plan for our pardon for sins and all the promises of God will be revealed, because every word in this book is true. You see, God wants His people to have comfort in knowing not only that God's plan will be revealed, but also that God's word stands forever. In verse 6 and 8, God wants His people to have comfort in knowing, kind of like a positive and negative, of what will and what will not last. Verse 6 and 7 says, "The voice said, 'Cry.' And He said, 'What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." Do you see, God wants us to understand that as His people, if we look to the world or the things of the world, there's no comfort to be found there, because it will not last. Our life and the things of this world are like a dressed-up dandelion, here today and with a puff of wind, it blows away and is gone. The only thing that will last is our works done for God as we stand upon His word. It reminds me of a plaque a family friend gave to me years ago, soon after the Lord got a hold of my heart and turned me back to Him. It said, "One life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last." You see, our life is like grass and as a fading flower. We are not here to live for ourselves or for our own comfort, but to live for God and out of His provided comfort for the sake of others. In CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, one of the songs that we actually teach the children in our Bible clubs is taken right here from Isaiah 40 verse 8 that reminds us of what will last forever, God's word. It says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So what is the result of knowing the comfort of God, that God's plan will be revealed and that God's word stands forever? It motivates us to stay on mission for God. It moves us to get our eyes off ourselves and look at others who need to yet know the comfort of knowing the living and eternal God. In verse 9, it's one of my favorite verses in chapter 40 of Isaiah. It says, "O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Just a few weeks ago, I took my oldest son, Caleb, who is now a junior in high school, on a college visit trip. I mean, I can't believe where these past 17 years went. Well, together we visited a Christian university in Indiana, and frankly, I didn't know much about the school, and I wasn't sure it was going to be a right fit for our family. And I have no idea if that's where my son will end up going or not, but I want to share with you that I was blown away at the campus visit. One of the first things that happened is that they took us to the chapel, and it was like the last chapel of the school year and like a send-off to the seniors. And the students who led the worship time, the whole student body, they were on fire for God as they worshiped and praised the Lord. And then after the message, the chaplain asked the seniors to come up if they wanted the faculty to pray over them individually, that they would be a faithful witness to Jesus in the world wherever God would send them. And all the seniors came forward, and the worship team, you know, just kept on singing. And then the chaplain, he decided to open it up to the whole school, and one by one, and then basically the whole student body, the whole campus that was attending the chapel that day came forward to ask for prayer that wherever they go, whether it was back home or for a summer job or, you know, coming back to school that next year, that during this time that they would be a fearless and faithful witness for the Lord. I was just amazed. I thought to myself, I said, wouldn't it be just like our God to raise up from our young people, our own children, a generation that starts a revival that ripples across our land and across our world? And of course, I have no idea what God's plan is and what he has in store. But I do pray for a revival to sweep across this land and the whole world. But just like those students and John the Baptist, we can also lift up our voice and lift it up with strength and be unafraid. We can stand upon our mountaintop wherever God will send us and wherever God places us and say to a watching and needy world and point to Jesus and say, "Behold, your God." Why? Because we as God's people know the comfort of God, that his plan will be revealed, just as he has said, that is rooted and grounded in his word that stands forever. You know, I love the way how this comfort chapter in Isaiah 41 through 11 points us to our ultimate source of comfort, not only in God's plan, God's word, but also in God, who is our great shepherd, who loves, comforts, and cares for his people, his sheep. Verse 11 is a beautiful picture of our shepherd that says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that with young." Are you tired and hungry today? Look to your shepherd. Are you weary and weak, feeling as if you can't even take one more step? Look to your shepherd. Are you needing guidance and direction or wisdom at a crossroads in your life? Look to your shepherd, for he comforts and cares for you. No matter what is going on out there in this world or inside in you in your own world, God wants you to look to him, find your comfort in him, for the one who provided for the pardon of your sins is not only the Lamb of God, the Lord God, but who also is your great shepherd, both this day and always and every day of your life until one day he picks you up and carries you to his eternal home. God says to his people today, "Comfort, comfort my people and behold your God this day." Thanks for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.